Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. It's Thursday, January 21st, 2021. We're going to talk to Daron Cherry, Chiefs Hall of Famer at 9:05. We'll have Mike Scott Picks at 8:45. But right now we got Jared Sutton. What up, Sut?
What's up, guys? Good morning. How we doing?
Championship week.
That's right.
That's how we're
fired up. This song's getting me in that mood, too, you know?
Yeah.
Right. How's Jeremiah Tillman doing?
I think he's doing pretty good, right?
Right.
I mean,
that's exactly fourth, right.
Fourth double-double in, like, six games, I believe. Not bad.
So is this just, Konzo Martin has said maturity. Is this just maturity that's allowing him to, and look, hey, I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know if it's going to last the rest of the season. I'm sure he's going to have some down games, but is it just maturity and experience that's allowing him to finally realize his potential?
I think that's one piece of it. I think it's two parts. It's that he's an older player. He's a veteran, experienced player. I think he's playing free of mind and thinking the game. He's always played hard. But now he's more of a cerebral player. But I also think Konzo Martin, I'm glad you brought him up, Stephen, because I think he deserves some credit because I've seen some adjustments Missouri has made. And I thought it was in-game against South Carolina, and it might have been something they talked about after Mississippi State. I saw it a little bit against Texas A&M. They're lifting their offense a little higher. And their smallest details can really make an impact, especially offensively with your offense. And I think they're any coach in preseason before season starts, they'll put X's on the floor, and it'll be spots where you should be on offense. And the emphasis of it is to create better spacing. Well, I think what Konzo's done is he's lifted everybody up from the baseline. Typically, you'll see Jeremiah Tillman on the block, short corner, and they'll want to duck him in on different actions. Now they're lifting up those bigs, and they're starting their offense higher. And Jeremiah Tillman's playing more at the free throw line, and they're doing some dribble handoffs. They're doing some pick and roll, some pick and pop. They're getting him in movement, coming from the top towards the perimeter, down to the block now, where he can have a head of steam, have better post positioning, and giving him just a little bit more space to work with instead of it being so much so crowded and on top of him, where it makes it easier on the defense. I do think lifting that also makes it easier for guards to attack. Xavier Pinson has not played well over his last two games. He's had 9 turnovers, but he's still such a huge part of this team. And what's Xavier Tillman best at doing? He's best at attacking and playmaking, finding Jeremiah Tillman on those reads and pick and roll off the dribble handoff. And also you have pick and pop and you have the pitch there. You have penetrating pitch action where you can find Mark Smith, who's finally getting out of his shooting slump. So it's a lot of things I think that Konzo's looked at. Jeremiah Tillman is a important piece of this team. I mean, I think what he did defensively the other night, 3 blocks and 3 steals, his efficiency is up. How about the free throw shooting, too? I mean, his free throw stroke looks a lot better as well. He's only, I think, 55% of the year. But he's been really well, I would say, over the last 2 weeks and change. He's shooting it better from the line. That's got to be important because he gets a lot of contact, a lot of fouls put on him now. He's got to convert at that free throw line. So I'm happy for Jeremiah, but I do think Konzo Martin deserves some credit as well.
No, he does deserve credit because, look, after that Mississippi State game, I was questioning everything because that second half was so bad. And they were 1-2 in the conference. And so you felt like, well, I mean, Gabe DeArmond said it. I mean, they really need to go win that game at Texas A&M. And so then that evened the record, and they come home and perform like you expect them to against South Carolina. And those two games were important. Because this Saturday they have the rematch against Tennessee down in Knoxville at 7:30 on SEC Network. They were not competitive in the first game against Tennessee. How did they change that on Saturday night in Knoxville?
Well, I think the biggest thing is they got to make shots in this game. They only shot 19% from three. They were 60% at the free throw line as well in that game in Columbia. I'm curious to see if Jaden Springer plays from Tennessee. He's had an ankle injury. He didn't play in the Florida game. Obviously, Tennessee was embarrassed the other night at Florida. expect them to come back, especially in their own building, ready for a fight. So Missouri's got to bring the energy, and they got to start fast. Missouri got off to a great start against South Carolina. I mean, South Carolina did, you know, punch back a little bit. They got back in the game a little bit in that late in that first half, but it was the second half. I thought Missouri adjusted and attacked, and playing in transition is going to be so important. It's something I will say every time we talk about Missouri, is playing in transition, getting out and running the floor, pitch aheads, Javon Pickett getting out and sprinting and running the floor. Don't jog up the floor. And I mean, yes, you can get in your half court and run your sets, but try to make it easier on yourself and get out and, you know, in 3-on-2, 2-on-1 situations and attack. Because that's when Missouri's really good. It makes it easier for them. That's when they score in that 80 ballpark. When they get out and run and get transition buckets, they get turnovers. They're a great defensive team. But if you can get some of those live ball turnovers, you make it easier on yourself. So that's important in a game like this. You know, Tennessee's not a team that turns the ball over a ton, but they will have moments where they do cough it up. They had 14 turnovers in that game in Columbia that first time around. I think Missouri's got to be competitive on the glass. It can't just be Jeremiah Tillman. They got to have guard, gang, rebound. This Tennessee team is long. They're athletic, and they're athletic everywhere. It's not just, you know, at the guard position, at the forward position. Yves Pons is one of the best defenders in the country. He's so athletic. He guards everybody. And you got to shot fake him. You've got to be able to fake a pass to throw a pass in a game like this. You can't get careless with the basketball. Missouri had 21 turnovers in that game, and they only had 5 assists. That's a big piece in that first matchup in Columbia. They got to correct some of those things. I think they will once they go into this Tennessee matchup. This is, again, two teams that are playing a little bit of a different style right now. I think Missouri's made some corrections. Tennessee did not play well in that Florida game. And I thought they would battle back, and they were almost non-competitive. So let's see how they fare. But, you know, this is a game Missouri's got to get out, start fast, take care of the basketball, put pressure on the defense, play in transition, get to the free throw line. And, yes, Jeremiah Tillman has been playing really well. He's got to stay at this level. I mean, he's got to stay consistent. And they need Xavier Pinson to take care of the ball, too. I mean, again, 9 turnovers his last 2 games. He's too important of a player. I know he took a shot to the head from Javon Pickett the other night. I think he's fine. But he's got to continue to take care of the ball, get guys shot, and then also find himself some offense as well. And I think if Missouri can get that and Mark Smith can shoot the ball and stay confident, and he broke out of that funk against South Carolina, shot it really well, shot it with a lot of confidence. That helps this team so much, too, in the half court.
I like the way you talk, Jared Sutton. Big game, and Missouri wins this game. Surprisingly, they would move ahead of Tennessee in the SEC standings. 7:30 in Knoxville, Saturday night on SEC Network. Jared, let me introduce you to my guest co-host today, Nate Bucati. Nate, say hello to Jared.
Well, hello, Jared. How are you?
I'm good, Nate. Good to hear from you.
It's good to hear from you.
I didn't know if I'd get a chance to speak with you today.
You know what? I'm kind of like you, waiting for Gary to get done with the weather forecast, just biding my time.
Hey, chomping at the bit to talk to you.
He said to save all the Baylor Kansas questions for him, so I did.
Okay.
I'll get to that in a second, but I want to follow up on the Missouri Tennessee thing real quick, because you talked about what a bad game Tennessee had their last game out. You know, you said non-competitive in the second half. So if you're Missouri, would you rather play Tennessee coming off of a game like this because, hey, maybe they've got some problems that could cause them some issues, or do you say, oh no, they're going to be an angry team after a game like that?
Oh, I think Tennessee will be an angry team for sure. And I think if you're Missouri, I mean, you wouldn't want to face Tennessee, too, when they're riding high and, you know, scoring the ball. You know, this Baylor team is red hot, right? I mean, if you're facing a red hot team, I still wouldn't want to face that team either. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where I guess you'd want to play Tennessee probably coming off a loss just in case, you know, they're shook a little bit and, you know, trying to figure out some things and trying to battle through some of those things that happen in conference play, right? We're in January. These things can happen, especially to a good team. You know, they can drop one or two where, you know, maybe they don't shoot it well, they're banged up. They obviously don't have Jaden Springer, and Jaden Springer is a very good player for them off the bench. So he's a player I kind of circle because I think he's a big – I think Tennessee really missed his production off the bench. So that's mostly what I'm curious about going into this game on Saturday.
Okay, so I've put it off long enough. The Baylor-Kansas game, 77-69. And
oh, boy.
Look, after the game – while I was watching the game, I was thinking to myself, "This is not a this is not an this is not an aberration. This is the better team is winning this game and controlling this game. And they look better. They look like they have better players right now, and they look like the better team. And Bill Self said after the game, and people were asking, what'd your team do wrong? And at one point, he said something like, hey, look, let's not get this twisted. They're better than us. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard Bill Self say that. And it wasn't like he was trying to make a point. Like, sometimes Bill Self will try to maybe insult his team a little bit to motivate them. But you know, I listening to him talk, it sounded like he was like, look, they're better than we are. How did Baylor get here? How did Baylor get this good? Because Kansas isn't a bad team. I mean, they're not maybe a vintage Kansas team, but they're good. So how did Baylor get this good?
Well, I think Jared Butler coming back was so important for this team. And he was the one player, I think he was probably the player that waited the longest to make a decision on if he was going to keep his name in the draft or come back to college. And him coming back, I mean, he's just such a skilled, talented guard. He's even better than he was last year. You know, the efficiency, the passing. I do think why Baylor is better this year than they were last year is Davion Mitchell and Masiak Teague are much improved as well. And, you know, there's only one basketball to go around. I'm really impressed with Masiak Teague, who, you know, before he got to Baylor, he was a point guard, and he was a guy that could score the ball at a high level. And when he went to Baylor, the thought was Jared Butler would be gone, and Masiak Teague could have more of the playmaking responsibilities, have the ball in his hands a lot. But, you know, this is the situation where Jared Butler comes back, and I think they're sharing the ball so well. And I do think for Baylor, they've made some adjustments offensively. You know, I know they had Freddie Gillespie last year, and they really wanted to establish him. He was a very good post player, good rebounder. And, you know, they still have good pieces at the big position. Mark Vidal, obviously, is a rebounding machine, does the dirty work and block shots. But again, when you're in a guard-heavy offense, you want to have space for them to operate. I think they use the pick and roll so much better this year. They're more efficient out of pick and roll, and I think dribble efficiencies and just getting good play from a lot of their top players at the guard position is so important. It's Jared Butler, Davion Mitchell, and Masiak Teague, and then Flagler and Meyer off the bench. Tchatchewa has done such a good job for them of giving them energy. He's a guy that plays relentlessly hard. Mark Vidal plays relentlessly hard. I mean, those type of rotational pieces really help you when you got the skill that they have at the other positions. I think Jared Butler, Davion Mitchell, and Masiak Teague have a chance to play at the next level in different rotations, in different situations, obviously. But they're a very good team. They're well-coached. They defend at a high level. And I do think you have to give credit to Scott Drew and his staff. This is something where, you know, even when I played at Mizzou and played against Baylor, they're a completely different team than when I played against them in college. They recruit differently. They plan differently, game plan differently. And it's just a different style of play that they play that's exciting to watch. And they're a team that's for real. I said that a couple weeks ago. I mean, this team is so impressive. And Jared Butler doesn't let them lose. I mean, that's why he's one of the best guards in the country. I mean, you look at the Texas Tech game. They did not play well at Texas Tech. And Jared Butler didn't play well for most of that game. But the final 5 minutes, he steps up, hits a couple threes, gets a three-point play, gets a couple guys some shots, and they win the game. I mean, that's what a veteran guard does late in games, closing games, making plays. That's Jared Butler. But they also have Davion Mitchell and Masiak Teague that do the same thing. And I will just comment real quickly, too, on your point about Bill Self. What he said after the Texas game is a lot different than what he said after the Baylor game. There's a reason for that. And Coach Self is so, I think, good at what he says to the media to speak to his team in a lot of ways. I think the Texas game, they were non-competitive. They really didn't fight back in their own building and got embarrassed. That Baylor loss, they have nothing to hang their head about. Mm-hmm. I thought they really did a nice job getting back in the game. And I do think that the non-call on Jared Butler, on Jalen Wilson, was a big, big moment in that game because Jared Butler sticks that three, and Kansas was on a run and had a ton of momentum. And then Baylor ran away with that game. And I think Baylor would have won that game regardless, because they just have those type of pieces. But Kansas is so scrappy and fights. They got some big buckets from Christian Brown, who's just coming into his own. He's going to be such a special player. And I thought Ochai played well, too. And Marcus had 8 assists, but the 5 turnovers, he's got to address that. He's got to take care of the ball at the point guard position.
Okay, I'll bite on the since you brought it up, the non-call on the push-off on Wilson. Jay Billis made a big deal out of it during the broadcast because they'd called a pretty They called a flop as a charge against McCormick earlier in the game, and Billis brought up, like, why is that one a charge and this one is not a charge? Greg Gurley brought it up to us yesterday as well. I'm going to preface this by saying Kansas cannot use that as an excuse to why they didn't win the game, all right? They got beat in this game. But it keeps getting brought up. The charge call in college basketball, do you have an issue with the way that it's called? And in the NBA, since you watch that more than probably most of our audience does, do they have it better? And do they deal with that call better in the NBA, or is it an issue there too?
Yeah, we deal with it better at the NBA level for sure. It is still a tough call for an official to make. They're human. They're going to miss, you know, calls from time to time. It's part of it. You'll live with that. I think the problem in the college game is it's so inconsistent now. And it is a problem, and it's all over college basketball. I mean, it's not just one game. Right. I think any college game I watch now, at some point, this call comes up. And I do think it's been going on for some time without being addressed. That's how I'll say it. I don't think it's ruining college basketball by any means. I do think it's a serious problem. I do think it's a problem that has been, you know, overlooked by the NCAA for some time. I think there's a lot of reasons why that is. You know, officials that are, you know, have been in positions at the college level for a long time. It's much different at the NBA level in how officials get evaluated. They're evaluated each game. You know, we have a director of officiating at the league office that is looking at every game, every officiating crew. Who's the head of those officiating crews? You know, we have officials in the G League. Now, this year it's a little bit different. You don't have the G League operation going. So you'd like to have a lot of G League officials get that experience at the G League level. And then they have ability to get called up to NBA games. So it's much different at our level. And there's a reason why I believe NBA officials are the best officials in basketball in the world, period. I think they're great. Do they miss calls? Yes. It's part of it. It's a part of the game of basketball. I think in the college game, though, this has not been addressed. And it's always going to be I hate talking about it, too, because we have to talk about it, because it is a huge call or no call in that game, that Baylor-Kansas game. But, I mean, now it's become where a player falls down, it's a charge. You know, there's moments where, you know, an official will call a point guard dribbling the ball, extending his arm. Well, he's not extending his arm. It's an arm bar. He's not extending it. But it might look like that because the official's not in proper position. You know, the baseline official isn't seeing something, and an official that's up by the mid-court line calls it, and that might not be his call. I mean, there's so many factors that play a part in this. It is a problem. It's got to be addressed. But I feel like we've said this before. We've said this years past. I think it's getting worse and worse. I don't think it's directly impacting the product, but it's got to be addressed at some point because it is a call that now is becoming more and more. I mean, the Missouri-South Carolina game, there's a charge called and the players in the restricted area, you know, and the baseline official, that's his responsibility on that part of the floor is to see that. So those things to me are those don't get missed at the NBA level. I mean, you are held to a standard at the NBA level. And again, they miss calls, but those type of things, you just can't miss. It's too important. College basketball is still a competitive sport. There's a lot of money in college basketball. I mean, college coaches are held to such a standard, and wins and losses, and players put so much time and energy. Some of those calls really dictate momentum and dictate the game, and that's got to be addressed to help the product of the sport.
All right, let's get some picks now. Let's get to it. All right, you ready for this?
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Kansas at Oklahoma.
I'm going to go Kansas. I think it'll be a close game, but I think Kansas will bounce back.
11 a.m. tip-off. Are you a fan as a player, or do you hate it?
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I'm a fan of night games and having a shoot around. I think it's probably different this year, but the 11 a.m. are rough.
You're a gentleman of the night, aren't you? That's what you like. That's you get out and stretch your legs at night. I know how you are.
That's right. Like, I learned from you. I only learn from the best.
That's right. You're a nighttime player, and you're a nighttime player, Jarrett Sutton. I like the way you go about your business. Yeah, you like that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Use that intro. Put that on your resume. All right.
I might. Yeah. My
Baylor. Yeah. Do you give any shot to Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State? They're hosting Baylor.
This is going to be a fun one because this is going to be all about Jared Butler and Cade Cunningham, you know, seeing the matchup of a potential number one pick. And with Cade Cunningham and Jared Butler is going to be a first-round pick. I think this matchup's going to be a lot of fun. I'll give it to Baylor. I think Oklahoma State will battle. I do. I think they, you know, I think Baylor, though, is a team that can come back from a deficit. Oklahoma State has given up big leads. I'll go Baylor, but I do think it's going to be a fun one and a good matchup. One I would, if you're a basketball fan, I'd watch that one. Cade Cunningham and Jared Butler is going to be fun.
So 11 a.m. Kansas, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB in Oklahoma. The Baylor-Oklahoma State game is a CBS game at 1 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock on ESPN2, West Virginia at Kansas State. Do you give any shot at Kansas State to pull the upset in Manhattan against West Virginia?
I don't. I'll go West Virginia in that one.
Can you imagine Bob Huggins' press conference if they did lose this game? Can we hope for that? I'm pulling hard for K-State, baby.
That's right. As long as we can get, you know, get you to maybe do a Bob Huggins impersonation, that's really what I'd be after that.
Here's what the first 10
seconds. Everybody shoots 5% against us. We suck.
It would just start off with this. Looking at the score sheet, just.
Okay.
Missouri at Tennessee.
I'm going to go Tennessee in this one. I know that'll hurt, but I think Tennessee is going to come back and be ready to go. It does depend on Jaden Springer. Let me just say this: if he doesn't play that bench,
will you pick Missouri if he doesn't play?
Again, I think it depends on the bench. Like, let's see if Javon Pickett scores 10 points, right? That's the stat, right? If he can get 10 points, I think Missouri's got a chance. Don't get me wrong, but I think Tennessee and Rick Barnes coming back in their own building after that display, and a team that should supposed to win the league. They're still my pick to win the league. I know they've missed some games because of COVID, but they will come back ready to play. And I would think Jaden Springer plays in this. He might not. That would be a benefit to Missouri if he doesn't.
Finally, give Jake the score of the NFC and AFC championship games, please, because you can hear them both on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
So I'll start with our Chiefs. I'm going to go 34-20 Chiefs. Mahomes plays.
Yeah, two touchdowns, baby!
Woo! So I'll go that one. And then Packers-Bucks. I'm going to go Packers over Bucks. Let's go 27-17. And I got Chiefs-Packers in the Super Bowl.
All right, it's Thursday. We're still waiting patiently for one guest to pick the Buccaneers. We are like 0-10 so far, so no one willing to jump on the Tom Brady bandwagon. Jared Sutton, we'll all jump on your bandwagon if there's room. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. And go Chiefs. How about that?
That's right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Go Chiefs.
It's a handsome guest right there. I could promise you that. Go ahead and Google him. I welcome it.
I think my girlfriend does that daily.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't she?
I'm not mad about it.
I'd question things if she didn't, you know?
Fair. Just saying.
It's just like out of nowhere. And by the way, we're still staying at home and trying to be safe. Out of nowhere the other day, I don't even know what we were talking about. My wife's, why don't we see Jared Sutton more? Like, I don't know. We were just talking about the bathroom remodel, so I don't know what brought that on, but I mean, I don't know. I think it's a question that many people ask. Why don't I see Jared Sutton more? You ask yourself that, don't you, Nate?
Every day. Every day.
How are you? You all right?
I'm immersed in thought.
What's he thinking? What's caught his eye, Jake?
His phone.
What's captured his imagination?
I don't know what's going on in that phone.
What is it?
Something's going on in that phone.
Well, I'm watching back the Bills versus Chiefs game from the first time around.
Do you believe him?
And
I don't know. I think it has something. It absolutely has something to do with soccer, and he's unwilling to admit it.
It's right here. You can see.
No, he's got the yeah, Josh Allen.
Did you guys remember?
But you were looking at your iPad. You're looking at your phone.
Well, I was texting somebody about what I saw in the game.
Right, there we go. Uh-huh. Who are you texting?
Oh, my buddy.
If it's during the show,
Chad.
Hey, listen to me. It's not your time. It's our time.
That's true. Mr. You're right. I should
do
not
you
have
tell
done
me.
He's who, testing
no,
our
no,
boss.
No, 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 no. It's Chad, fine. If you, I just want to know who it is.
You said our boss.
No, Chad. It's a different Chad.
Oh, well then, shame on you.
Shame on me.
You
read
kidding
the,
me?
Read the text message. Stand up in front of class and read the text message if you can.
Damn, bro, I almost forgot how Clyde Edwards-Helaire had that near fumble at the end of the game that almost put the Bills right back in position to win.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
Steven did not forget about that.
No, I did.
He's
I was
still
remember
remembering
how mad
that. Well, you about lost
you know,
it.
Hey,
you're yeah. like, you know what?
Well, his knee was barely down.
If that had been a fumble,
I know,
I would
dude.
Have taken my
implosion
monitor and thrown it out of my office. I can't complain. He's analyzing the game.
No, he's.
How can you complain?
He's doing
about
work.
That, you know, it was like, you know, I thought it was gonna be like.
Did you guys see Arsenal's performance over the weekend?
Hey, this Hoppy kid from Schalke has got five goals. A 19-year-old American at Schalke has got five goals. Now that you brought it up.
What did you just say?
Schalke.
Say that slower, because that was...
There's a 19-year-old American named Hoppy. His last name is Hoppy.
Okay.
I think it's Justin Hoppy. He scored a hat trick in his first game in the German Bundesliga, and now he's got five goals already in just three games. So I'm excited about
there
that.
Kansas
sorry.
City. You
there's,
waited,
your, there's your
you
soccer update. Oh, and Sporting Kansas City signed three homegrown players yesterday. One of them is a family friend of Sandy Cohen's, I found out last night as well. So,
what did you think of the last text message I sent you guys?
Nope.
I'm trying to scrub that from my my phone.
Why?
Steven, bad Steven. No.
Because
no.
No.
That's to make sure that you're paying attention. That's the.
I responded right away, sir.
You know how you respond like with a cold splash of water in your face? That's supposed to jolt the senses.
I'm good if I don't ever see that ever again in my entire
life.
Well,
I'm going to in the next segment.
I'm going to tell you something. The text message that you sent us from Greg Gurley kept popping up on our every time you would text us last night. That image was like. It kept me up at night. It was horrible. Please don't do that again.
We should probably break immediately. Back after this on WHB.
That was a bad one.